I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays from 9 to 11 o'clock, you'll hear stories behind the stories, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinking here. I got to tell you, you're going to hear different stuff on this show, to be sure. We are watching political theater at its grandest right now. It is what we do as Americans. Actually, though, let me go ahead and preface later on in the show. Look, I've got some huge praise for Donald Trump today. Call your Trump-supporting friends and say, Mike Madison's on board. There is news about a decision that Donald Trump has made that could be one of the best of his presidency. Certainly gives me some hope, because I look at every action, judge every action. Not every speech, not every word. I don't care too much about speeches and words. I care a lot more about actions, and Donald Trump is poised to knock one out of the park, at least potentially. So we'll see how that turns out. So I got plenty of Trump love today, which should boost my ratings. It should give me some cover to talk about the rest of the things, because I'm not always on board. I am on the record with the Trump tweet about Ilhan Omar and the rest of them as just being a bad idea. At least it was phrased badly, and I believe that the result was bad. Even if you agree with the sentiments, nobody in this country is actually served by stirring up all these charges of racism and hatred among the American people. His base loves it. The timing of it was just perfect, wasn't it? I think it hurts him, hurts his reelection chances, but we can agree to disagree on that. There's news that Trump's approval went up by 4 points from 46 to 50%. I've been constantly stunned during the Trump presidency as one of the few people on radio that's saying he should be in the 60s or 70s percentile basis in approval rating. But I've been stunned by watching conservative media, Trump-supporting media, heralding bump-ups up to close to 50%. Now, polls are running anywhere between 37% and about 52%, with probably the average being somewhere around 45, 46% approval rating. Is that something that we now aspire to at the presidency? It is some kind of finish line and goal that the president, I don't care if it's Trump or Obama, I don't care who it is, the next president, I don't care, that maybe if on a good day half the country doesn't hate the president of the United States, that's a good thing we celebrate. This is where the bar has been set. I point often to Reagan Democrats, Ronald Reagan, totally different tact, totally different demeanor, totally different style, was in the 60s or 70s percent. And I think that somebody could have gotten into Trump's ear and said, look, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to play the left. Here's how we're going to get the people on our side. You remember that Ronald Reagan? The media hated him. We're going to emulate some of what Reagan did. Some jokes, some self-effacing stuff. I don't know why people don't try to replicate that. And it's not really because I particularly care who the president is. As odd as that sounds, as shocking and controversial as that will be to some people, as somebody who doesn't like the government nosing in every bit of our business, I don't really want to be talking about the president every day. Not in real life. And we've become obsessed with politicians. We've turned them into royalty. And then because they decide so much for us, a formerly independent people who were supposed to be just free to pursue their dreams here, now we're just waiting to see what they're going to do with our paychecks and our retirement accounts and our schools, and we're just waiting constantly to find out what are they going to do for us, either side, both sides. So last night we had the chant of send her back, And that should keep the news cycle going for several more days. More division. This is, as I say, this is political theater at its finest. And this, the tweets come, and then the backlash to the tweets right in time for a Trump rally, and then the Trump rally doesn't disappoint with the crowds chanting, "Send her back." And now this will add new life to it, fuel more, so we can talk about it for another 4 or 5 days until something else comes up, and then this just disappears into history, and people won't think about it. It won't matter to re-election. It won't matter to either defeating or winning for Donald Trump. The border's still open. The debt is still rising. Schools are still failing. Children are still being abused and trafficked. The cities are still crumbling. Homeless are defecating in the streets in some of the biggest cities. Drug gangs are still killing out there. And the lobbyists are still lobbying. But the people are entertained. This is what drives me nuts about it. I'm going to play this clip. This is Chris Cuomo. CNN's just absurd. He's so hard to listen to. I certainly didn't catch this by watching CNN, but I saw this clip today. Here is what we have wrought here with this tweet. And I am fully aware I'm talking to people who really support this and just think it's great we're taking the fight to them. This is what disgusts me. This is what now we have to put up with for possibly weeks on end.
Let's bring in U.S. Senate candidate Kris Kobach from Kansas, once considered for high positions in this administration. Good to have you back on Primetime.
Great to be with you, Chris.
So help me understand, how is it okay for people in your party to say, I'm not condemning these words, they're not racist?
Okay, well, first of all, if you look at the words themselves, when the president said, I think people are focusing on that these members of Congress should go back to the crime-infested places from which they came, right?
I mean, you know what's stunning to me about this stuff? That we participate in this political theater. This is days and days, hours, dozens of hours, hundreds of hours of media coverage, and like what we're going to hear now, where they are going to pick apart words. Just a message sent out by Twitter that was the culmination of about 3 minutes worth of thought and just some letters into a social media platform that's sent out. And that is going to give us 2 weeks of this stuff. The right and Republicans trying to defend, the left trying to make too much of it and call Trump a racist. This is what we have to participate in. And again, as I say, the border's still wide open. The debt is still going through the roof. Schools are failing as we speak. I may talk about that later on today. I interact with a lot of people. And I got to tell you, our schools are failing our kids so incredibly miserably that I'm actually stunned by it. But that's continuing to happen. We've exposed a pedophile ring. It's still going on. We arrested one guy. One guy in massive rings of child trafficking across the United States. That's still going on. People in Chicago still dying. Drug gangs still controlling. But we arrested El Chapo. More about that later, too. The cities are crumbling in their own footprints across the country. You can say, yeah, they're run by a bunch of Democrats who are just destroying their countries. I'm with you. You're exactly right. You're right. That's Kim Wade's forte, and he's exactly right. But instead, we are talking about, I mean, just listen to the minutiae they get into here. It's about each line, what each word means. This was a social media post that will drive a 2-week news cycle and have Americans screaming at each other.
So where are those places? Well, in AOC's case, it's Bronx. In Tlaib's case, it's Detroit. And in Omar's case, it is originally Somalia. Those are all crime-infested places, and in Somalia's instance, there's terrorism, too. So it's a fact. He's just to simply state that fact is not racist. And
Chris,
so I think that's why many Republicans said, look, just because you're saying
that's not
something
why,
negative about these districts.
I let you get the argument. I let the get the argument out, but I'm just saying it just fails on its face. He wasn't talking about the Bronx.
Why is that?
He was telling them to go back to the countries that you come from, and he kept saying it. He doubled and tripled down. Only on Omar did it even make sense factually, right, because she's a naturalized citizen. But that's the part I don't get, Chris. If you're going to excuse what he said, then don't twist what he said. Own the reality. He told four brown people,
go back
to the places where you brown people come from. You don't belong here.
Now, you're editorializing and adding content to his tweet. The problem with Twitter, which I think
And blah, 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 back and forth, back and forth. You know who must have loved this tweet more than anybody else in the country? Chris Cuomo. He must have woken up and seen this thing and said, holy cow, look what I've got to talk about for the next week. Look how I can pile on to Donald Trump. Look how I can bring on people. Let's start lining up the guests. Come on, baby. This has got the American people energized. We can bring, it's a social media post. To what effect? I can't figure out. This is where we are. And this won't be the last one. Yes, are the Democrats overreacting to it and calling it out? Yes, was it misstated? Was it poorly phrased as a tweet from Donald Trump? Yes, I believe it certainly was. Because it has wrought this stuff. Now, the Democrats did their part in the political theater of us versus them yesterday, and we'll talk about that when we come back. They're playing their part. This is just beautiful. To somebody who sits outside of this stuff to watch the American people scatter into their two camps and harden their positions, this is dangerous stuff, I believe. But to me, my first reaction is it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous and completely unnecessary.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Brian called during the break, made a good point. He said he sits around at work with lunch, people of varying sexes, varying races and everything, and they talk about normal stuff. So, I don't know. I have to kind of wallow in political stuff just by the nature of hosting a talk radio show. Maybe I am caught in this bubble of thinking people. I mean, I read social media. I look at in the context not of my interaction in social media, but as an observer of what's going on in the culture at large. I look at what's going on in social media, trending stuff. I look at comment sections on things. Maybe there's just this small slice of the American populace that is actually wading in this stuff, and that the vast majority of people are not paying attention. But when we extrapolate things out into large groups in the United States and we talk culturally, I think we've got problems. Whether or not are a lot of people involved in this tweet? Is everybody lined up? Because what I'm seeing is everybody's lined up and on their side. Now, they're not discussing it in the grocery store. Nobody's walking up to me in the produce section where I shop for organic produce, by the way. No one's walking up to me and asking me my opinion on the tweet, or we're not talking about it, or the impeachment process. But this is what passes for political news in the United States. American people are so woefully undereducated, miseducated, uneducated on political issues, on financial issues, on everything else. This is the political discourse. When it comes to, you know, CNN playing this segment here, they're still going.
If you think our country's so bad, leave. There's nothing racist about the love of
America. There is when it's directed at those people, and you never use the construction with anyone who's white. Bernie Sanders says the same things. Hell, this president has said those kinds of things and worse about this country. He's been beating up on the country.
I mean, this was a 10 minute, 18 second segment on CNN. Chris Kobach defending the tweets and trying to explain what they really mean. Chris Cuomo hyperventilating at the racist nature of these tweets, being just ridiculous. I mean, this is just, how would I describe this? It's a play. It's a constructed play. And as I said, I mean, this is how I view the news. I can only do it through my lens. Nothing is happening on the border. Nothing. It's worse than it was before. Nothing is happening on the debt levels of the United States. It is worse than it was before. Apparently, Rand Paul, I saw in the news this morning, John Stewart's taken issue with Rand Paul. Rand Paul's standing in the way of the 9/11 Victims Fund. Do you know what Rand Paul's doing? And this is considered obstructionist and heresy within the Senate. Rand Paul is actually saying, hey, look, I want to fund this 9/11 Victims Fund, but let's try to figure out an offset. Like, let's cut spending from somewhere else and give it to the 9/11 victims. You know, the first responders. And this is unbelievable somebody would do that. Say, if we're going to spend money here, let's not spend it somewhere else. Let's actually prioritize spending. Rand Paul's going to be raked over the coals for obstructing the 9/11 First Responders Fund. That's how bizarre it was. And that is still going on. The lobbyists up there, the lobbyists aren't talking about the tweet. They may be laughing about it, but they're going about business as usual. They got work to do up there. They've got contracts to get. They've got foreign governments to lobby for. They've got corporations that still need new tax breaks. They've got their special interest groups. The lobbyists are just going on about their business. But the American people, we're out here just screaming at each other about this stuff. And I'm telling you, it seems to me, if I look at the culture in the United States, it seems to me we're entering some dangerous territory. The idea of chanting, send her back last night, was a bad optic at the very best. Now, I know there's a lot of people listening to me right now that really agree with it. Yeah, well, she's, you know, I get it. Omar's a piece of crap. So, I mean, vote her out. She's a political opponent. We're now going to deport her. This is not a good look, but it's got everybody talking again, and it's going to, you know, everything. All of this led up to a Trump rally, which was the perfect scenario for this to happen, and now we're going to continue to talk about it. And then the Democrats filled their part of the political theater yesterday by doing this ridiculous impeachment vote. It barely even got covered because it was so ridiculous, had no chance of passing. But what happened was all the Democrats, the ones who were going to benefit from it in their districts, where they got to show how tough they were on Donald Trump because Trump's not popular in their districts, they got to go on the record and do this meaningless vote, which they can use for a fundraiser. Vote for me again. Keep me in the House. They'll advertise to all of the districts out there that may be sympathetic to impeaching Donald Trump, and they'll raise money. We got to get more people on board. We didn't. And the people who are in the districts where it wouldn't be popular, where it'd be political damaging, they can tell their constituents, well, we just think this is not the time or the place. The country has bigger things to worry about, and they will benefit from this politically. And this is just absolutely beautiful for fundraising, I believe. That's what this stuff is designed to be about. Now, as I said, I'm going to talk. If anybody's upset with me, I am not going to self-censor anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore, and I'll let the chips fall where they may. It is so difficult here to bite my tongue when I think Trump does something wrong or something bad or something that's self-defeating. As a Trump voter, somebody with incredible enthusiasm when he was inaugurated, he just has not delivered where I was really hoping he would deliver, which was draining the swamp. There is no swamp draining going on. I mean, I guess we did exchange the head of the Pentagon. We got rid of the Boeing head of the Pentagon, and we've put in a Raytheon head of the Pentagon. I'm not sure. That feels fairly lateral to me. It doesn't really feel like a swamp draining. Got Eli Lilly heading up Health and Human Services, which is now spending $100 billion a month. That is not a substantive change in the right direction that I was hoping for. It's the first government agency to ever spend $100 billion per month. So I'm not seeing the changes that I want to see. And it seems like for everybody who voted for Donald Trump, you were voting for a lot of the changes that I wanted to see. Yet now we apparently have to, we were voting for a tweeter in chief. Somebody who gives a voice to the voiceless. We've wanted to say these things. We've wanted to tell them, love it or leave it. And he gives us a voice and he says it for us. To what end? To what end? Well, you saw he got a 4% bump in his polling numbers to 50%. And that's just one poll. Trump points out it's, I think it was Rasmussen, which he said was the most realistic leading in. That's the other thing is that, you know, if the poll's positive for Donald Trump, we believe it. If the poll is negative to Donald Trump, we call it one of the crappy polls. It's just, I'm not going to lose my level of just independent thought. I'll let the chips fall where they may. But I am about to praise Donald Trump. I mean, he has done something genius. He has done something great for this country. He has done something I wholeheartedly support. See, I can do that. It's a weird thing. If you free your mind from the hyper-partisanship, if you take off the shackles of either plantation, then you can look at every headline and then make up your own mind. Do you know what I used to do? I used to hear about something, and then I would wait for the Sunday shows. Now, it wasn't really voluntary. I mean, I didn't really feel like I was doing this, but I would hear about something, and then I would wait for Rush Limbaugh to tell me how to decipher it, or I would wait for Sean Hannity to tell me how to decipher it, or I would wait for the Sunday shows so that I could get armed with all the talking points I needed to go out and propagate the propaganda. I could go out to a party. This was back in my 20s when I was young and my mind was apparently full of mush. And now what I do is I hear something happen and I still take in information. If I don't understand something, and you know what? It's okay to admit that I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm not sure if something's good or bad. I can't remember what the issue was. Oh, you know what it was? The issue with the gubernatorial candidate here who told the female reporter that he would not ride with her alone for 15 hours. Now, that struck me as odd. It made me feel like we live kind of in a society that's scared of its shadow. That was my first reaction. But I didn't dislike him for doing that. I didn't know if it was good or bad. I really didn't know. I didn't know how to. And I've listened to different people explain it from either side, and I kind of understand where the guy's coming from a little bit. I still think it's weird, but that may be the reality of the situation right now, that you just can't put yourself into a position where somebody could call out something, you could make up something. I think it's sad that we've come into this world where we can't interact as normal human beings out of fear of being accused of something or something appearing. You know, that still feels weird to me, but I'm not mad at the guy. I guess I understand where he's coming from. See, it was okay for me when I heard that to have two different feelings on it and really not know where I landed until I started listening to other people. And when those things happen, I was reading some comments last night on a Zero Hedge article. And it was interesting. There were several people on there. You know what they do every time they hear something? And I'm not going to bring up the topic because I'm going to talk about it tomorrow on False Flag Friday. Tomorrow's False Flag Friday is going to be an interesting one. They were talking about things, and these particular people said, you know, somebody would make a comment, nothing obnoxious, and the person would respond with, "Well, you're just an idiot, another one to add to my ignore list." And I thought, that's America now. We're all snowflakes. We can't accept any opinion outside of what we've already established as the truth. We cannot allow anyone to question anything Donald Trump does because that's disloyal and we will disregard it and put you on mute. We'll change the radio station. We'll unfriend you from Facebook and ditto on the left. I'm about to tell you something fantastic that Donald Trump is doing. The left won't listen to this. They won't accept it. They won't admit that this is an objectively great thing he is doing. They will refuse to do it because they're also conditioned. This is what we are. We're a society of people who ignore everything, and it can be the most basic facts in the world. I mean, just a concrete fact can be presented to someone and they will pretend it doesn't exist if it does not conform with their political ideology already or the point they're trying to make. We do not live in a world of people going, huh, that's interesting, I hadn't considered that or anything like that. We live in a, you have to be certain. You have to be certain of everything, and anybody who disagrees with you is just flat out wrong. That's where we are. And unfortunately, I'm trying to run an independent thought radio show. I would imagine if I consulted some level of a marketing company or a focus group or something like that, I may be on the losing end of that. But I soldier on for as long as they'll let me. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I want you to watch what I do here. This is something you don't hear, or listen to what I do here. I guess that's better, isn't it? Listen to what I do here. This is something you're not going to hear often on conservative talk radio. Watch what I do. I don't like the Trump tweet. I think he shouldn't have sent it. I don't think it served any purpose. I think it was a mistake. And I can't stand the endless talking about it and the media's getting their ammunition, just some little thing to cling to try to paint Trump as a racist. I think it was self-defeating. I think it was a bad idea, and he made a mistake sending it out. Now watch that. Now listen to this. I think Ilhan Omar is a terrible congresswoman. There's no love lost for her. But at the same time, when she talked about the outsized influence of Israel on our government, I don't disagree with that. But she's also made a ton of other ridiculous things. And if she was somehow in charge of my life, I'd be petrified. She's horrible. My whole political stance is around the fact that that's why I want a small, limited federal government, because I don't want some nut job like any of the four of the squad to have any say over my life or my children's lives, our schools, our income, anything. I don't want them having. I don't think they're smart. And they're not the only four in Congress that I don't think are smart. So I don't want them having any power. I want them to have just a very tiny few things the federal government does so that these people get out of our lives. So see, I didn't like the tweet. I think it was a mistake. I think it caused unnecessary consternation, aggravation, separation. But I don't like Omar either. And then watch this. Listen to what I do now. Trump is doing something fantastic. See? It is okay within the human mind to think one thing's good and one thing's bad about the same person. My children sometimes do things, and I love my children with all of my heart, and sometimes they do things that I think are just completely bonehead moves. Absolutely bonehead moves. And you know what I do? I tell my children, hey, I love you, but you really screwed the pooch on this one. What were you thinking? That's what I do. I think this is a normal part of the human mind. But I'm pretty lonely in talk radio on that idea. I've got a caller on the line. We'll see if they agree or disagree. Caller, are you with me?
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Of course, now, this is just my opinion, and it's worth what you're paying for it, all right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing, but it's still mine.
Well, let's hear.
I don't want to try to defend Trump and some of the ludicrous things that he says, but I want to ask, What other choice does he have? From the very beginning of his candidacy, he had every media outlet against him, which means that he's got to go to some alternative form of media. He's got his own Justice Department that's trying to perform a coup in bringing out a false story.
Agreed.
I don't like everything he does. I like everything that he's accomplished. I think the country is finally headed in the right direction economically, but I don't know what else he's supposed to do. I'm not sure what other choices he has rather than to fight back.
Well, were you
saying is if you mess with the bull, you know, you're going to get the horns. I don't know what other choice he has.
Okay. Well, let me just ask some questions then, because I don't, if it was effective, if Donald Trump was at 65-68% approval rating, then I got to tell you, I'd have to just kind of sit down and shut up. Even if I might not like him personally, at least then I could say, well, it sure is effective in that he's getting the people on his side. But that has not proven to be the case. Were you alive during the Reagan presidency?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ronald Reagan had everybody against him. I don't know if you remember. There's old videos. Phil Collins put out the video of, you know, Nancy and the chump and Ronald Reagan in bed together, the doddering old fool. He's senile. The media was against him. Yet he was able to harvest the Reagan Democrats. And Reagan's approval rating at times was in the high 60s, low 70 percentile. I think he got up to like 72% at some point. And that was a totally different style. See, I believe that Donald Trump's campaign, I believe his movement had legs, but he needed to build on to that. All I'm saying is, not again, if it was successful, then I just wouldn't have much to say. I would say, well, I don't get it, but look, it's working for him. I don't think it's working, is my main thing.
Well, I think that Reagan was able to do some things that nobody is ever going to be able to repeat. But also, Reagan didn't have the technology that we have today. He didn't have the social media that we have today. And he didn't have as much of the media that was just not telling the truth. And not just not telling the truth, but omitting the truth. So I think he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. I may not like everything he says, and I'm not going to admit that I do. But I'm going to go by his successes and where I am personally because of it, where my business is, where my friends are. And you're right. We are all turned into snowflakes to where, you know, if you hurt my feelings, then that means that I get to throw you out of everything. I get to dismiss you 100% just because you hurt my feelings.
Right.
And we got to find a way to get over that.
Yeah. And see, you make a good point. Your support of Donald Trump is not because of what he says. You agree with some. You might find some of it, you know, not great. It's the evidence that you're living that gives Donald Trump your support. And I believe that if Trump would get out of his own way and just let people see if they are benefiting from the economy, they would like Donald Trump. It's almost like he is going out of his way to give them a reason to not like him. And again, I am on record saying I think he should be in the 60% approval rating. I think he is actually making it hard. See, the Reagan Democrats were able to come over because Ronald Reagan didn't make it hard to like him. The economy was doing well. He was kind of a fairly humble man. He spoke plainly. But, I mean, you know, we talk about technology. I find it hard to believe Ronald Reagan would have sent out a 3 a.m. tweet on anything unless it was, you know, absolute urgency. But, you know,
I'm not convinced that he's not at 60 or 70%.
Well, I mean, there's no evidence of that, though. There's not a poll, even the most kind polls. I think that's the top one I've seen is at 52%. Now, you know, it's a little difficult to say that to hang your hat on that. Now, we're going to find that out in 2020. Obviously, in November of 2020, we may find that out, and it may be a landslide. But I just don't see the effectiveness of any of this. I don't see. What do you think about the controversy surrounding this tweet? Do you see him gaining any advantage from this?
I don't, except bringing out other people's false narratives and to expose things when they need to be exposed. I don't think it was a racist comment because he didn't use color.
Yeah, I don't either.
Those people could have been purple polka dotted, and it wouldn't have made any difference to him. I don't think it was racist. I think it was just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you. And that's the thing, too, is that he set himself up for this charge of racism. If he hadn't sent the tweet. Now, I know what everybody will say. They're still going to call him racist. You're right. But that's where I think thinking people in the United States, if the media and celebrities and Democrats just keep piling on Donald Trump, but he doesn't give them any ammunition, then a lot of thinking people, the middle, the Reagan Democrats out here will go, I don't know why they keep picking on this guy. He's not said anything. He's not done anything. But he keeps giving them ammunition. That's at least the way that I view it. And
well, it's like college football. I'm ready to stop talking about it, and I'm ready to start doing it.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And again, you're exactly right. And that's the thing, is that while all this conversation's going on, the borders are open, the debt's flying, the kids are still being trafficked, the schools are still failing, the cities are falling apart. I mean, so this accomplishes nothing in my view. And I think your experience of saying you're a Trump supporter because you're experiencing good times under Donald Trump, that should be the loudest thing that people hear about the Trump presidency, their experience. And I think his approval rating goes up. I just think it's counterproductive. That's all I guess I have to say about it.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call. All right. Got to take a quick break. And we'll come back. I'm going to start on, or I may save it to the next hour. I mean, I am so pumped up about something Donald Trump has just done. I can be hard on him, but boy, I'm going to heap some praise on Donald Trump next.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
The crow flies straight. All right, this is the final segment of this hour. I don't have enough time left in this hour to heap praise on Donald Trump for what I'm going to mention at the beginning of next hour. That's how bad. I want to make sure I've got a good full segment to really flesh out the genius thing that Donald Trump has done. So I'm going to save that for next hour. I apologize. It's kind of, I don't know if that's bad form to tease something on radio and then come back with something different. But I'm going to do that because I want to make sure I have time to do what I've got to do it justice. This is, if I'm going to hold him accountable for everything, then when he delivers, I need to make sure I am loud and proud about it. So we'll talk about that next hour. You know, that caller was great to me because it really points out something, which is the experience that people have in their personal lives is the most important thing to voting trends. Now, that's for the large swath of people kind of in the middle who either don't vote or they don't care. I'm talking to a sliver of Republicans every day. All of talk radio is. Those of us who really find this stuff interesting and intriguing, but it is not at all the vast majority of Americans. I don't know how many. I guess Rush Limbaugh is still the king. I don't know how many people he talks to, but it's not like he's talking to, you know, 50 million people a day. And so there's this big swath of people that are just sitting there living their life. And if they're happy, they're going to want to keep it going. And if they're not, they're going to want to change. The reason that we have so much juggling between the two major parties is because what happens is we put all our hope into one of the parties. We elect them. They take over the House, the Senate, the presidency. And then 2 years later, people go, nothing changed. Nothing's any better. I'm not getting, my wages aren't any better. My debt's higher. They're still spending. We're still at war. And then they go, all right, well, we're going to try this other thing again. And we keep doing this square dance where we just keep interchanging different parts, thinking, I think we, maybe if we have, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the best thing that can happen at this point is gridlock. Just absolute abject gridlock. They do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. And my dream is that they start actually tearing things down, sending power back to the states, or I don't know, maybe to us, somebody comes out and says they want to abolish the IRS, I got to tell you, I'm voting for them. I don't even care if they're a Democrat. So somebody who has a bold idea of actually changing things in this country would be fantastic. I don't know. Maybe if they were a Democrat with some other idea, I don't know. It'd be difficult. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. People vote their experience. If Donald Trump is delivering the experience that people want and he is seen to be tackling issues, the immigration issue is a winning issue. If he took a business-like approach to that and made the case, because everybody's ready to hear it, it's ripe for people. They will say they want some orderly border. I mean, people in the middle understand you cannot be invaded by people who are not assimilating into this country, particularly with a welfare system. They're on board with that, but he's got to deliver the message to where people just go, look, I mean, and you could make the argument, I will admit, Donald Trump is showing the Democrats to be open border people. But he just makes it so difficult for thinking people to come over to Trump's side because they got to take so much heat from their friends because he stokes all of this animosity. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, this is Nilsson.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, I just got an observation. You know, the left freaks out over every single thing that Donald Trump says, everything he does, every tweet. And guess what? So does the right.
Yeah.
Everybody in the world's got to freak out about every single little thing that this man says. And I don't remember anyone ever giving two darns about what any other president who has ever served the world has ever said about anything or any kind of communication they put out. It just seems like this guy is just a guy, and the entire world can't deal with it because he's not the very perfectest guy that they could think of in the world.
Well, I will say,
side, their side, everybody's side. I think it's just like everything. He could have done this better. He could have got more people on his side. He could have done this. He could have done that. Well, guess what? Who cares? He's president. And if you want someone to fit the perfect thing, then you got to vote someone in that fits the perfect thing, man. And just to dog the guy on every single mistake that he ever makes, it's just unrealistic because no other president has been ever held up to this. Like, no one ever talks about, you know, the people in Congress who never, ever do anything to make the world a better place. It's just everything just goes on Donald Trump's head. It's just leave it all to him, you know. The guy can't govern because he has an entire party that won't vote for a single thing that he wants. The guy can't govern because he doesn't have his own party that will vote for a single thing that he wants. The guy can't govern because he has the entire media out every day calling him a racist, a Russian traitor, a this or that or the other.
Well,
I just think, who cares?
All right, well, let me just ask you. Hold on. No.
None of it matters. None of it matters, man.
If he doesn't get his stuff done, then he gets a pass because everybody was against him? I mean,
I'm not saying he gets a pass, man. I'm just saying that no one cared before. Now everyone cares. It just seems ridiculous to me that everyone cares so much about a president when my entire life, I don't think I know a single person in my entire life who has ever cared who the president was.
Well, I think social media has exacerbated that. But hey, Nilsson, got to run to a hard break.
4 years, get a new one.
All right, got to take a hard break, man. Thanks. Talk to you later. Social media has exacerbated the situation, but Trump is an in-your-face guy, and that's where we are right now.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you and we are so back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. You want to join the show today? 601-879-0002. I'm going to make this last little point. You know, one thing that is difficult for us as human beings when we disagree on something is to not really try to show the other person up. You know, we want to just jam our idea. We feel like if we
You know, we get angry. We really show the passion and we say all the right things. They're going to come. You got to give somebody the room to accept what you're saying. You know, you've got to have kind of a give or take. They've got to want to come to your. Nobody is going to scream anybody into changing their mind on anything. The more intense you are when you go at them about something, the less willing they are to change their mind. Now, I will tell you, as I even think about this myself, I don't know I'm necessarily good at it. I can get impassioned about stuff. I believe that my arguments for small, limited, libertarian-style government make perfect sense. But I don't bring people to me if I'm screaming at them either, but I don't. I mean, particularly my personal life, interactions with people, I think mostly questions are the best way to try to get people to your point of view. You know, have you considered this? Did you ever think about this? Those kinds of things. But we are locked in this screaming match, and I think Donald Trump is locked in that screaming match too. The media is locked in the screaming match. The media is more reviled now than when Donald Trump announced his candidacy, not even being elected. I mean, and they were not held in high regard before then. You know, so what they're doing is not working as well. Democrats can't field out of a field of, what do they got, 24 people running? Well, I guess Eric Swalwell, at least he had the dignity to get back out of the race after about a month. But they still got like 23. They still can't field anybody that's winning over the American people. It's sad. Anyway, my main point on Donald Trump is the effectiveness of style more than anything else, and it's some of the results. But here's where I got to tell you. Donald Trump has just hit one out of the park. I don't care if you're on the right or the left. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, man, woman, black, white. I don't care. This should be great news to you. And if it's not, I'd love to hear why you think this is a bad idea. I'm telling you, you leftists, you've got to be able to see. And this is where I say Trump's style is hurting him, because he does some things that are just so patently good that everybody should give him credit. It's just that he's so hated that they just can't give him the tiniest bit of credit. You've run into people like this. You know, in your personal life, you have somebody that you just dislike so much. They may do something fantastic. You just can't give them any credit for it because it makes your skin crawl. No, I will not let them have a win. Well, you people on the left who hate Donald Trump for whatever reason you've been convinced to hate him, you should love this. I am thrilled. Go Trump. Politico reports that Senator Rand Paul, the outspoken anti-interventionist libertarian Republican from Kentucky, has been handpicked by Donald Trump as his emissary to mediate with Iran after the Kentucky senator proposed the idea. Trump has now reportedly signed off on the plan. First pitch over the past weekend by Paul at a golf outing as a way to avoid escalating towards military conflict with Iran, according to multiple U.S. officials. Politico reported the following details on Wednesday. Over a round of golf this past weekend, Senator Rand Paul asked President Donald Trump's blessing for a sensitive diplomatic mission. Paul proposed sitting down with Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif to extend a fresh olive branch on the president's behalf, according to four U.S. officials. The aim, to reduce tensions between the two countries. Trump signed off on the deal. This is courage. This is courage and a positive step in the middle of a swamp that does not want to see him make this step. This is the man I voted for. In the face of his own foreign policy team, which still is a mystery to me, is why they're there. I think it has more to do with donors and the machine and the swamp than it does to do with Trump. The whale and the walrus, Mike Pompeo and John Bolton's heads must be exploding. But Donald Trump doesn't care. He does not want to see this war with Iran. Now, I'm going to tell you again, this is still dangerous because they will instigate an event. I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow on False Flag Friday. They do it all the time. The deep state is not gone. The swamp is not drained. They are still slithering around Washington, D.C. as we speak. They will instigate an event that forces Donald Trump's hand into confrontation with Iran if Trump does not defuse this thing substantially and quickly. Like his father, Ron Paul, the junior Paul has over the past years been outspoken in favor of drawing down U.S. troops worldwide and ending regime change wars, the same thing Donald Trump campaigned on. This is back to talking about Rand Paul. He's been a consistent critic since the start of his political career on everything from Afghan policy to the 2003 invasion of Iraq to the covert efforts to overthrow Assad. Thank you, Donald Trump. It is a rare person that could sit in the presidency of the United States and try to stop this train wreck of aggression towards Iran. It is a rare person. Do you know why I know it's a rare person? Because during the Bush administration, they had Iran on the list of seven nations to topple back in 2001. And then we got the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize winning President Barack Obama. And what did he do? He started three or four more military campaigns in the Middle East. Yeah, he told his supporters, we need to end these wars. I cannot do an impression of Barack Obama. But he came out and told them, and they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize based on some speeches. And then when he got into office, he unleashed the war machine and wrecked the lives of millions of people in the Middle East and made America less safe in the process. Yet the liberals couldn't see that, or they just ignored it. But Donald Trump is maybe the only guy, certainly out of that field of Republican nominees, except for Rand Paul, who was dispatched fairly quickly. Besides Rand Paul and Donald Trump in that batch of people, they're the only ones that could stand up against this war machine. And Donald Trump is doing it. He is trying. I know he is trying. I have said this over and over again. There is a coup going on in Washington, D.C. right now, and I'm not talking about the Robert Mueller, Peter Stroke, Jim Comey coup. That was then. This is now. Right now, you've got a coup. You've got a foreign policy establishment and a war machine that is hell-bent on this Iranian war, along with Saudi Arabia and Israel, who drive American foreign policy in the Middle East. To think otherwise is naive. But Donald Trump says no. He says, let's pull back from this thing. Now, Donald Trump's probably making a political calculation, too, because he understands that a war with Iran destroys his chances of re-election in 2020. And I've told you before, Mike Pompeo doesn't care about that. John Bolton doesn't care if Donald Trump's re-elected, because whoever replaces Trump, they'll be able to infiltrate their group too. If Hillary Clinton had been elected president, Iran war would probably already be going on, and we might have even ended up in some military confrontation with Russia, for God's sakes. All you peace-loving, loving, compassionate liberals out there, you tried to vote for one of the biggest warmongers on the planet in Hillary Clinton. And Donald Trump is standing up to this machine. Now, how does this benefit you right now, today? This genius move by Donald Trump? For now, it seems the market is viewing this positively as oil prices are plunging on the apparent de-escalation. See, we've been paying a premium at the pump just for all the aggression towards Iran, based on ridiculous accusations that have never been proven, these attacks on tankers and all of this other, they're the greatest state sponsor of terror. I am no Iran apologist. I don't like Iran's government. I got no problems with the Iranian people. They just, you know, when souls were coming down to the planet, some of them go somewhere and some of them go the other ones. I lucked up. I ended up here. They ended up in Iran trying to live their lives, run their businesses, run their coffee shops, take their kids to soccer games, just like we do. I got no problem with Iran. But the Iranian government, I got no, there's no love lost with those people. They're authoritarian, but they're also not a problem. They're not a threat to the United States. We don't need to fight another war for another, for a country other than our own. Donald Trump, this is the man I voted for. Am I heaping this praise on enough? Do you disagree with this? Do you? Because there are still a lot of conservatives out there that continually point to this pallets of cash deal with the nuclear, all of these ideas that seem to want to justify another war. I really thought by the voting for Donald Trump that we had moved past that. I was so enthusiastic about Trump becoming the president because it showed me that conservatives and Republicans were turning their back on the endless wars at the time. Yet, when I watch Fox News, I still see people out there that are wanting to get tough on Russia, wanting to get tough on Iran, consider endless military adventurism to be somehow American leadership. No, it's called an empire. We can't afford it. And we have no business meddling in the affairs of other countries. And what's funny to me is I read an article the other day and somebody made a comment on it that said something about it was actually an anti-war piece by a couple of Marines who had done long tours in the Middle East. And some commenter said, well, it's not a bad article, but it's just a bunch of libtard claptrap, is what they said. Because they believe that somehow anti-interventionalism is a hippie idea, a leftist idea. And again, I call your attention to the Founding Fathers who warned us what happens when you build an empire. It will destroy your country. A large standing army is not compatible with real freedom. This is the Founding Fathers. I don't know many people who consider Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, James Madison, Ben Franklin to be hippies. Ben Franklin was a big partier, apparently. But I don't know you'd consider him some leftist libtard guy. Anti-war, you know, this show is skating to where the puck is going, to use the old Wayne Gretzky phrase. Wasn't it Gretzky that said that? Don't skate to where the puck is in hockey because it's going to move. You try to skate to where the puck is going to be. Ending these endless wars is where the puck is going to be, either voluntarily or involuntarily. I'd rather do it voluntarily. I'd rather for us to get out ahead of this. We see the disaster that these things are. But for some reason, the thinking part of the brain on a lot of people on the right stops. They'll acknowledge the disasters of the past, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya. Yeah, those were all bad. But as soon as Fox News tells them about the latest headline, the provocation, the aggressive action of Iran, they switch off that thinking side of their brain and they go right back to what they've been programmed with for 30, 40 years by the military-industrial complex that says, we must police the world and stop every bad actor on the planet. Iran's no different than Iraq, except for the fact that they're more powerful. It'll be a worse war. Donald Trump sending Rand Paul to talk to the Iranians is one of the greatest things any president has done in a while. Because Iran is even more important than North Korea. North Korea was really not causing anybody any problems. Yeah, they were shooting off a couple of missiles. They were an isolated little kingdom. I don't blame them for trying to make a show, trying to get a little bit of attention, trying to tell everybody, hey, don't overrun us. We've had troops on their border now for 60 years. Simulating, almost month in and month out, we've been simulating attacks to take out the North Korean government. So they're doing what they think they need to do to say, hey, don't mess with us. We got nukes, whatever. But they were never a threat to this country. Iran's not a threat to this country either. But in that cauldron, we already have bombed all of the enemies of Israel and Saudi Arabia. We don't need to add the other side of Islam into the mix by bombing the main Shia Muslim country. So this is even more important. And Donald Trump, I'm telling you, there are very few people. Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Donald Trump. Very few people could have stood in this office under all the pressure to start another war by all of the lobbyists and all of the neocons. And I mean, if you notice, the media establishment is on board with all of these actions, too. With all of these aggressive actions and the idea that America can't put it. We always got to draw our red lines and everybody's always trying to get our stuff. And we need to get tougher with Russia. Donald Trump's one of the only ones that can stand up to that, and it looks like he is trying desperately. His supporters need to let him know this is the direction we want to go in. Unless you're still a warmongering neocon. I mean, I was at one point too, but if you are over 28 years old and haven't caught a clue on this stuff, then I'm certainly nothing I'm going to say is going to change your mind. But for the vast majority of us, this is where Donald Trump needs the praise. Not in the tweet. Those are words sent from whatever little break he was taking at some point with a couple of thumbs on a keyboard. This is the important stuff. This is where I wish Trump supporters would look at it and go, now you're nailing it, Trump. Now, we love you for this. This is the important stuff. That's why I hate talking about the tweet. For the last 4 or 5 days, it's going to go on for the rest of this weekend. The Sunday shows are going to be nothing but the Trump rally and the tweet. When it should be this, the American people should realize Donald Trump is trying to stop a huge war that would kill tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people and start a whole new mess in the Middle East. This is where the real news is happening. And he's tapped Rand Paul, one of the few people in Congress capable of understanding that these foreign wars do not serve.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, talked a lot in the first hour about Trump's approval ratings and that I believe his style is counterproductive to picking up new voters and stuff. You know what I just think is just a slam dunk for Donald Trump is peace. We are a war-weary nation. Again, there's still some neocons out there. I used to be one of you when I was young and dumb. No offense. Well, maybe a little offense is intended. But people are war weary in this country. I mean, even the most warmongering amongst us, at least us little people, us everyday Americans, can look at the $7 trillion price tag and go, don't know that was really a wise investment. Doesn't seem to have gotten us much. Now, Fox News will tell you we need to do more. We're in this existential war on terror. And that programs a lot of people. A lot of people have a very difficult time understanding that peace is preferable and that military occupation of another country is not the core of America. The military might of the United States is wonderful in defending ourselves. I wholly support that. But military might and sticking your boot on the throat of another smaller, weaker country, there's nothing to be prideful about that. This peace idea is a winner for Donald Trump across the board. Now, here's the problem. He has to go against huge entrenched powers. And he's not been as forceful with that as I would like to have seen yet. He has still been able to eke out a relationship with Kim Jong-un to take the North Korea, I'm using air quotes here in the studio, threat. See, the secret is they were never a threat. But they were hyped into a threat so that we would continue endless military spending. He took that on. He brushed people aside and he became his own man and he said, no, we're going to talk to the North Koreans. And now he's sending Rand Paul over to Iran to talk to them. This is a winner. Bringing our kids home from the Middle East is a political winner. This is the kind of stuff, a well-timed, well-crafted speech that says, look, America, Afghanistan is the graveyard of empires. People have tried to conquer that country for thousands of years. It never works. We shouldn't have gone in like we did, but we marched right in. We can march right out, to quote Ron Paul. If he came out and said, look, we've got problems at home. We've spent $7 trillion over there. We cannot do it anymore. we're ending these occupations. An orderly withdrawal, he can say all those things he wants to do. That's a slam dunk political winner for Donald Trump. And a lot of people in the middle, even a lot of people on the left who truly have the good liberal hearts, most of them have been twisted into this hatred and just psychopathic leftism. But for the good liberals out there who want to see peace, who actually have a good heart, they might even come and say, well, at least he's stopping the wars. There's a huge anti-war movement in this country, which it's very interesting. It's just not labeled as anti-war. It's more war dissatisfaction, war puzzlement. People know that this doesn't serve the American people, but they wait for somebody to explain to them why the next one's okay. You know what I mean? It's like we all instinctively know this is not serving any purpose for us. A $1 trillion defense budget is simply going to bankrupt our country. Again, Russia spends $60 billion a year on their military. We spend $750 billion, yet we're told that Russia is ahead of us on hypersonic weapons and their S-400 missile defense system can't be, you know, we can't allow it to be sold around the country because it will defeat our F-35 program. I mean, it's insanity. And, man, I wish Donald Trump had got the world focused not on Ilhan Omar, but on the fact he's about to pull us back from the brink that John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Elliot Abrams, all of the neocons in Washington, D.C., the defense establishment, he's going to bring us back. Trump is single-handedly, now with the help of Rand Paul, going to bring us back from the brink of a disastrous war all by himself. That's what I wish the American people, because that's a political winner. Chanting, send her home or send her back or whatever it was that they chanted, that's not a political winner. It rallies the base. Sure, you get some enthusiasm. People, you know, can go to Facebook and repost the video of them saying, you know, whatever. And the liberals get to all huddle together and talk about how every Trump supporter is a racist. You know, there's winners to the political power structure in this country, but it's not a political winner. Peace is a winner. And the thing that's really frustrating to me is that because Donald Trump supporters support him so strongly that he could actually introduce a humble foreign policy and the people who wouldn't have accepted it under Barack Obama or any other candidate would accept it because they love Donald Trump. He could have been the guy that says, you know what, just as he said during the campaign, we're wasting monies on these wars. He's even said, Donald Trump, for all of you who just hate Donald Trump and think he's Hitler, Donald Trump's one of the only people to actually talk about the casualties. I mean, he's said things like, so many people die in these things. It's sad. We shouldn't be doing this. Donald Trump has said words to that effect. He is the one who could bring conservatives and Republicans back to a sound soul, where we consider the well-being of people other than ourselves and do it without, you know, if Barack Obama, I mean, we're seeing it right now. Barack Obama made a treaty with Iran, and now conservatives just hate it and say it was the worst thing ever. I've never met anybody who's ever read it. They believe the lies about the pallets of cash, and we gave them $150 billion because people don't want to do their own research, and it fits the narrative where, oh, everything Obama touched was bad. See, we're still in that hyper-partisanship. One of the only good things Barack Obama did was the Iranian deal. And was it perfect? I doubt it. Was there some corruption involved in it? Maybe. But you know what? We weren't on the brink of war with Iran when that was going on. So there's that, if that matters to anybody. But now the left won't give Donald Trump credit for this. The left won't give Donald Trump credit for North Korea, because they're entrenched in their hatred. And it just hurts their brain too much to think, well, you know what? I disagree with him on a ton of stuff, but I got to say, he did a good job on this. See, there's no room. There's no room in any of our minds to give the other side even this tiniest bit of credit for something, because that's how the system's been devised. Republicans must hate everything Obama did. And Democrats and liberals must hate everything Donald Trump does. And that's the little balance they've got for us. That's how this political system, as corrupt as it is, as inefficient as it is, maintains itself. Because if we ever actually started thinking about issue to issue to issue, again, liberals, you can't have open borders and a welfare system in a country and expect it to survive. I mean, to anybody that actually thinks for themselves, that is just a big fat duh. Yet you've got 10 candidates on the Democratic stage all raising their hands for free health care for illegal immigrants. That means, yeah, just scratch out whatever's on the Statue of Liberty. I can't cite it exactly, but it should just say, hey, send us the sickest you got. Free health care. We got a bed ready for you. Our doctors will work for free for you. Well, they actually don't. The government will just print money and pay for it. But, I mean, come on, liberals. You got to, even you have to admit, as a thinking person, that's just a stupid idea. I love people. I don't want to see anybody suffer physically. They should listen to the Mike Madison Hump Day Health segment. They'd be a lot better off. But that notwithstanding, that's a stupid idea. But see, we can no longer look at ideas or statements or anything through just common sense. We have to look at it through the partisan lens. That's the only thing we're capable of doing anymore. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Hey, man, what does it get you, though? What does open borders and a welfare state ensure?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But that's for the political class.
No. I'm asking, this is their agenda. This
right.
The overall agenda. What does it get you? What does it do for your – what does it do against the American people?
Well, you'll have to flesh that out. I don't know exactly where you're going, so you
no,
tell
what
me.
I'm saying is if you're a Democrat – you are for open borders in a welfare state because the whole point is to dilute the American people, to slowly drain them of their wealth and their means to support themselves. That's the entire agenda ever since the 50s.
Well, yes, that's true, but that only benefits really the political class. The average person
it
is taking it on the chin.
Because this is one of the things that I figured out about how Democrats can excuse all of the collateral damage. Because they already understand that anybody who suffers in order to achieve this great thing that they're trying to do, it's okay. That's why people on the left can praise people like Che Guevara for killing gays and minorities and all other types of people, because those people had to die in order for the great dream to be achieved. See, that's always the unspoken thing with communists and socialists. Is that they understand that there's going to be a lot of death, and it's not just going to be on the people that they don't like.
But
okay?
Don't you think that the average, the rank and file, the average Democratic voter...
They don't,
voter,
think about that. They don't
right.
know anything about history. They're
exactly.
apoplectics.
But
they're
that's my point.
Idiots.
That's my point, is that that's what needs... that's what I'm saying to you thinking liberals out there. You can't look at open borders and think that's going to somehow... They are only supporting it.
They're not thinking liberals. If they're talking about this stuff, they're either in on it and they know the score, or they're just... buffoon.
There's not a whole lot of people that are in on it. Let me tell you, if you look at any socialist government, most people, you know, the 99% are just crushed in that system. It's the 1% that benefit, that ushered in the socialism that benefits.
Pelosi is in on it.
Yes.
Ocasio-Cortez doesn't have a clue.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But that's the political class. I'm saying the rank and file Democrat out there, if they could think their way out of a paper bag, they would realize their own, what they are supporting is a disaster. But they won't think about it. That's hyper-partisanship.
The rank and file Democrat looks at sports like they look at they look at politics like they look at sports. They can't see past their own party.
Well, that's bipartisan. That is both parties do that. I mean, we're so
they
locked into this.
To a certain degree, but we have a tendency to be a little more open-minded about and vetting our information. We're not so just knee-jerk response to just accept. Now, you've got different concentrations of people on both sides of the aisle. Okay, we've both taken statistics. We know what's the score on that. But as far as you know what you're talking about, and as far as how the media relates to this stuff, most of your executives in the media know what the score is.
Oh, absolutely. They are the political class.
It's not about what they tell you. It's about what they leave out. Like the fact that, well, you know, they're talking about Iran is just released that they're now up to 4.8% enrichment on the uranium. And that gets everybody upset, okay, because what they're not telling you is that in order for Iran to do anything with the stuff that they got to get up to about 90%.
Right, exactly.
Which is going to take
God knows how long.
Right, exactly. Yep. Well, you're right. I don't think we're arguing at all. I'm just trying to point out the fact that, you know, the rank and file Democrat voter is not thinking through the issue because they're locked in a hatred for Trump, because that's how they've been conditioned.
You could have stopped it not thinking. Okay? Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's just the matter of it.
But here's my problem,
the point
though.
Is they don't want the Democrat, average Democrat, to think about things. They want them to feel. They want, because it's in the feeling that gets them motivated to get in and organize and just do the group think, group chant, get out there and just, you know, be amongst one another. And that's, they feel good doing it. They're part of a cause. They don't know, you know, they don't have to understand why.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. I got to run to a break in just a second. But do you not see kind of the same behavior on the right with all the people who just, no, just listen. Hold on.
I get what you're saying.
I want to give you a particular thing. You got to let me finish a point just a second.
Sure.
We see the exact same thing on the right when it comes to the Iran deal. Nobody knows who's in it. It kept us out of a war. Was it perfect? I'm sure it wasn't. But see, the right, in just knee-jerk emotionally, because it was Obama, they hate the Iran deal. They don't know anything about it except for the propaganda about pallets of cash. But see, both sides have this knee-jerk reaction. Just because Obama's name is attached to it doesn't mean it was the worst thing in the world. What's worse is being at the brink of war, which is where we are right now.
Well, I can say this about the Iran deal. There was never an Iran deal. Okay, Stuxnet was released under Obama without his knowledge, and it destroyed their enrichment process. Okay, now when he instituted the Iran deal, everything that got destroyed was quickly made up. And they were accelerated through their program. Okay, so he made up for whatever losses that the NSA and CIA and the Mossad did with Stuxnet. Okay, so it's what they're doing now is, you know, they're saying, well, you know, if you'd hung on to the Iran deal, then we wouldn't have gotten this far. They're just doing that to tweak people.
I think I disagree with you, man. I'm running real long. Got to take a break. I appreciate the call.
Explain
why so
I'd love to hear in the next segment. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Thanks, man. Bye. All right, got to take a break. Running a little long. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, so Donald Trump is sending Rand Paul over to talk to the Iranians. I think this is one of the greatest moves of his presidency. It's what we should be talking about. It's a political winner across the spectrum. I wish we were talking about that instead of the tweet. I wanted to bring up one thing. I got a real short segment here, and then I'll come back and finish up the show. But caller mentioned Stuxnet. If you're at all interested in I guess a lot of people are interested in, you know, covert operations and things like that, because mainstream entertainment is littered with this kind of stuff. If you want to see some real world, just absolutely fascinating stuff, and to me, I don't understand computers, man. If I can't point a mouse and click on something, I'm toast. My son is going into computer science. Thank goodness I'm going to have like my own IT guy at some point, hopefully. I don't understand computer stuff. Go and do yourself a favor and check out, I think it's called Zero Day or Zero Days. And it is a documentary about the Stuxnet virus that was let loose in Iran. This virus, again, I don't understand. I think it's all hocus pocus magic, the stuff they can do with computers. This virus went into these nuclear facilities in Iran, and then it just sat there for a couple of weeks. And it took in all of the information that that these centrifuges were putting out and actually recorded it. And so that then, as it went in to sabotage the centrifuges, it took the information of normal operation that it had stored and it relayed that to the Iranian, you know, to the control rooms in these nuclear facilities. So the control rooms, it's the equivalent of like taking a, you know, taking a video. You'll see this in bank robber stuff. You know, you take a video of an empty parking lot and then you plug it into the stream going into the security room so that when they look up at the screen, all they see is the empty parking lot. But actually, there's three vans pulling up to rob the place. That's what they were doing. This Stuxnet came in, copied all of this information about normal operations, and then it set about its work to destroy these centrifuges, meanwhile feeding the data to the control rooms that said, hey, don't look at us, everything's normal here, until it was too late. And how they got this into the facilities, it's a fascinating documentary, and it shows you the capability that they have with cyber warfare and stuff, which is actually really very frightening. They say I can't remember what the next one is. They say there's something that makes Stuxnet look like a child's program that's been unleashed in the world now. We see all these grids going down around the country. I don't know if that's overload or if there's something else at play. Cyber warfare scares the crap out of me more than anything else. We got two big oceans. Nobody's coming over and invading us. But I got to tell you, if they get into the grid and everything else with the cyber warfare, we could have some real problems. Anyway, long-worded way to say, check out Zero Day or Zero Days, whatever it's called, if you're interested in that stuff. And just, it's an amazing documentary. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
About to put this one in the books. This is the last segment. I want to point out one other thing to you. I'm just saying, Rand Paul being sent to Iran, such fantastic news, one of Donald Trump's best moves since becoming president. Rand Paul's a libertarian. I'm just saying, libertarians are far ahead on foreign policy stuff of ending these endless wars than anybody else. So, as marginalized as libertarian thought can be, people just think it doesn't work or it's crazy or whatever. You don't realize it's very close to what the founding fathers envisioned for this country, which is real freedom and no foreign entanglements and foreign wars. So it looks like, according to the headlines here, I just clicked on Zero Hedge during the break. Problem is, I got to read this from the headlines, so hopefully I'm getting that they're accurate, because the truth behind the headlines is in my start to my show every day for a reason. But anyway, here's a couple of headlines. Epstein denied bail. Financier will remain in tiny cell until hearing. He faces a maximum sentence of up to 45 years in prison if convicted. I don't know about anybody else. 45 years seems light. Why is this not like multiple life terms if he was found to be guilty? We're talking about dozens of girls, young, disadvantaged, easily preyed upon girls. 45 years seems light. It's not as light as the 13 months he did with 12 hours a day of work release. Don't get me wrong. It's a life sentence for him, but it just that number of 45 years just seems small to me. I think somebody with, you know, a cache of child porn on their computer is facing 45 years. This guy actually went out there and did the deed. Anyway. No bail, which we all suspected. I think there just would have been the outrage of people if he had been given bail would have been just off the Richter scale. But after the Smollett thing where they just went, oh, you know what, we're dropping all the charges. You almost just can't. You just never know these days. You never know. But Epstein is in staying in jail until trial. Other headline is, quote, it's going to be staggering, unquote. Epstein associates prepare for worst as massive document dump imminent. Numerous prominent American politicians, powerful business executives, foreign presidents, a well-known prime minister, and other world leaders. I got to tell you, I get a certain level of satisfaction knowing that these people, at the very least, because I'm still not thinking we're going to see the level of justice that is probably appropriate in this case. I'll be surprised. I'll put it that way. These people seem to have a way. You don't have to look further than the Clinton crime syndicate to understand these people dance the night away while their crimes are brushed aside. I'm still very jaded and cynical that they're really going to hold people to account, but at the very least, at least they're sweating. At least they realize, uh-oh, this thing may get out of control and we may end up being exposed. At the very least, we can celebrate in that. Numerous American politicians, powerful business executives, foreign presidents, a well-known prime minister, and other world leaders. And, you know, this is kind of goes back to my whole thing in this hyper-partisanship, man. And don't let this be a Republican-Democrat issue. I'm going to say it again. You go look at the documentary Conspiracy of Silence and see what was going on in Republican circles. And I don't say that to because I hate Republicans. It's just that this debauchery, this disgusting, deranged group of psychopaths knows no party. They just know power. And so people in power are to be viewed with suspicion just about at all times. There's some good people, but they seem to be a rare breed. Anyway, we'll see what happens with the Epstein stuff. Interesting False Flag Friday tomorrow. Tune in for that. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.